Ghost of Radio. All right, it is time for episode 2 of this podcast, and it's the first time ever that we're reaching into the big black cauldron, as it were, to pull out which episode or episodes we're going to talk about this week. And this is live. I haven't already chosen it, and I'm faking it now. I'm about to reach into the bowl. I should say that there are some episodes that won't stand for a full treatment. So if I pull out a kind of minor episode, I'm going to grab another one too. But if it's a big, great big episode we can really talk about, I'll just do one. So here we go. You can hear it. You can hear the paper. I've got one. Okay. Oh, it's hard to grab without looking. All right. What is it? On a Country Road from Suspense. Oh man, is that one I would have deliberately chosen to start with? The category that I have this filed under is Sometimes Suspense Sucks. And it's not suspense the show, it's the concept itself. On a Country Road, it's a classic. It's got so many classic elements. All right, I'm going to go away for a minute. I'm going to listen to it, and then I'm going to bring it back to you, and we will be doing On a Country Road by Suspense. This is your chance to go listen to that episode so that when you come back and you hear me talk about the whole plot, you're still happy. See you in a minute. All right, we are back, and that means that I have listened to On a Country Road at Suspense, and I hope that you have done the same so that this can be an episode discussion rather than an episode spoiling. And this is a good example. I think, you know, I wouldn't have chosen it as the first episode to impress you with, but it does serve as a lesson to be learned that not every episode you encounter is going to be stellar. And what if the first episode you try isn't that great? You have to keep forging ahead. So you may think I am actually being a little hard on this episode. It's not terrible, but it's one of those could-have-beens, should-have-beens, and those can be more heartbreaking than just an outright bad episode. So let's get started listening to it, and I will give you my reminder that, like the episodes we listen to of Horror Radio, the episodes I am creating here don't have perfect audio. I think I don't need to struggle to meet that standard. I want to be of a piece with the episodes we listen to, and actually, compared with them, I am the Sistine Chapel of audio. And I should just be clear about what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some clips from the show, and then I'm going to talk and play clips and then talk. And so you're going to hear me toggling back and forth between my own audio and the show. And as you probably remember from the intro, the first episode of this podcast, the radio show parts are going to be so much louder than my own audio. Those things were on 11 at all times. So there's going to be just a little bit of discontinuity, but you know, I am a ghost, so you can't hold me accountable. Okay, let's start writing.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you On a Country Road, a suspense play starring Mr. Cary Grant.
To get home.
Who can relax in this mess of traffic? There must be a wreck or something up ahead.
Yeah. This keeps up, we'll get caught in the rain.
Yeah, looks like a big storm building up, too. Hey, remember that shortcut?
Which one?
Well, the little tarred road that goes across through Santa Marches and comes out on the other highway.
One we took last summer?
Yeah, I'll turn off there and duck this pile up. I'd like to get as far as possible before that storm hits. Why don't you pull out your hands?
He said, don't get mad.
Well, he cut right in front of me trying to turn into that gas station.
Maybe he needed gas.
Mm. Turn on the radio, huh? Yeah, there.
This afternoon issued warnings to all residents of Long Island to be on the lookout for Nellie Goller, a middle-aged woman described as dangerous and insane. She escaped this morning from Rescue Mental Hospital after fatally butchering a doctor, a nurse, and a ward attendant with a meat cleaver. This is the same Nellie Goller who a year ago murdered three persons on a Brooklyn street. This station
broadcasts a
description of our regular newscast, which
at least we aren't the only crazy people on Long Island. Why did they change it?
I don't listen anymore. Let's get home quickly, David. I don't like being out here with that woman running loose.
Uh-oh. Here's the storm. Roll up the windows. In just a moment, Mr. Cary Grant in the first act of On a Country Road.
Okay, that was their little intro before you heard from the sponsor. And, you know, that is the whole darn program in a nutshell. It's got Cary Grant, and that is one big problem. Hey, I'm a Cary Grant fan. I like a lot of his movies, but he is the wrong person to do a radio show. I think, as you will hear as we go forward, he's trying to be a good actor in it. He's trying to give the character kind of restraint and some kind of complexity, and it's just going the wrong way. It ends up making him very boring and neutral. Compare him later on with the third person who comes into the story. She is a fantastic radio actor, and he is just not, and he plays it way too straight. You know, for him, this is a dry run for North by Northwest. He plays it very straight as a man facing a danger. He just doesn't get it. Cary Grant, first problem. Hard to say it, but true. And then, you know, this is a classic episode type where we're going to wonder if somebody is a killer or not. This was a popular story. There's a story called The Lodger. This appeared in many variations. It has a lot of hackneyed devices that are common in also-ran horror radio. First of all, you're in the car, and the moment you turn on the radio, there's a news bulletin about a crazy person on the road, a killer on the road. Now you know where the door's got that. And then you have a couple where the man is very stupid and insists on doing a lot of stupid things like turning off the main road. And eventually he'll want to make a lot of stupid decisions that horror movies would use a lot. Like, oh, let's all separate. Let's all split up. Maybe I'll walk in the dark to this deserted house looking for gas for our car that ran out of gas when I took a shortcut while there's a killer loose. The escaped mental patient. There's a lot going on here that is not very suspenseful and really could add up to horror, sometimes adds up to horror, but does not here. It can be done well. It can be done badly. This suspense version is pretty relentlessly middle of the road, and it eventually makes it tedious. So, all right, we're going to keep forging ahead. Oh, yeah, and the sexism fail of when they hear that this woman... An official news bulletin referred to a woman butchering three people on the streets of Brooklyn. And then Cary Grant says, oh, my mother-in-law. Damn it, Cary Grant, come on. We expect better of you. All right, we're going to forge ahead. I'm going to play a little bit, just a little, of the sponsor intro. This was from 1950, November of 1950. And by this point, Suspense was sponsored by Autolite. And their Stay Fresh Autolite battery, car battery, was their big product. And they had horrible intros that were, some of them we will play in the future, super sexist. Oh my God. This one is just bizarre. It has a caricature of a senator, a Southern senator, somehow, talking with the Autolite sponsor guy about somehow there was an election that the Stay Fresh battery won. I cannot try to explain this to you. I'm not going to play the whole laborious thing. I'm just going to play a little bit of it here.
Amazing, Wilcox, amazing.
What's so amazing, Senator?
Your victory in the election.
My candidate's victory, Senator, the famous Autolite Stay Full battery, the battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. Why, everybody voted for the Autolite Stay Full battery.
Again, I don't know what they're talking about, but it's pretty horrible. And like all of the terrible Autolite intros, it goes on and on and on for a full 2 minutes, maybe longer. Let's skip ahead.
Why don't they put her to sleep instead of just locking her up where she can escape and kill more people?
Put who to sleep?
Woman they were talking about on the radio.
Right off the bat, in the first lines of the continued dialogue, we have this crazy statement of why don't they just put her to sleep? wow, it's pretty shocking for us to hear that kind of a line about someone who, well, the whole thing, mental patient, you know, in a home, butchering, put her to sleep. But the worst thing really is not that. It's that the woman says, why don't they just put her to sleep so that she can't get out and kill more people? And her husband says, put who to sleep? This is one of the worst quirks, I don't know what to call it, of bad horror radio, where no matter how obvious a statement is that someone makes, the person they're talking to says, what? You know, we just heard about a killer on the road, a woman who's an escaped mental patient killing people. And I say, why don't they put her to sleep so she can't kill more people? And you say, what? Who are you talking about? This drives me up the wall. This happens in so many episodes. You know, you're hiding in a cellar from a crazed murderer, and somebody says, what will we do if he gets in? What? If who gets in? I don't know if it's filler. I don't know if they thought people couldn't follow the story that much. A lot of times it's a bad attempt to have somebody there who is trying to play it down. You know that if there's a horror situation, there's got to be someone who's really scared and someone who's not. Like, I don't believe in ghosts, but Johnny, what about that ghost we just saw? Nah, you're crazy. I get that. But just having them say, what? What? is not the way to be the foil, you know, to be the straight man here in this situation. The moment I heard this, a little part of my horror radio loving soul died. All right, so they keep driving for a little while, and then the inevitable happens.
What are you doing?
All residents and motorists on Long Island are warned to be on the alert for the escaped insane woman who is somewhere on the island. She is described as tall, broad-shouldered, gray-haired, and rather heavy. She may still be armed with the cleaver. 100 men are searching the area, and they're prepared to shoot on sight. Here's another bulletin on the case, which just came in. Just a few minutes ago, the decapitated bodies of an elderly man and woman were found by
police near Center
Park. We haven't
found her yet.
This will get us out of that traffic.
The bodies of an elderly couple have just been found in their car near Center Morridge's on a lonely, tarred road. Police are certain they were killed by Nellie Goller, the insane woman now at large. Residents of the area are warned not to open their doors to strangers. Motorists are cautioned to stay off lonely roads and not to pick up any hitchhikers. All persons are asked to be on the lookout for this woman. Here is her description again.
They haven't
again.
Caught her yet.
She's tall, gray hair,
turn that off, darling.
I thought you wanted to hear it.
Oh, that's enough.
She's believed to be armed with the meat cleaver.
This shortcut will save us a lot of time.
You turned off the highway.
Sure, I told you when I did it. We've come over a mile already. Save us a lot of time.
But David, didn't you hear what the radio said about staying off lonely roads?
We only have to go across the other highway. It won't take long.
You sure?
Of course. We go past Center Marches, then take the left road and come out right by the highway bridge.
Center Marches is where she just killed those two people.
Oh, no. What can happen to us while we're driving?
What indeed, here, this whole stretch, it's like 90 seconds, but it's funny, they managed to work in the title a few times. Even the radio announcer says, lonely road, stay off lonely roads. But honey, this is such a lonely road. I guess it's actually called On a Country Road. Somebody forgot that was the title of it. It's the classic stupid person shtick where you listen to a radio announcer say, Center Morich's, which is a town on Long Island. The killers in Center Morich's apparently murdering people in their cars on lonely roads. So don't go on lonely roads in Center Morich's. And of course, right when they say they found the decapitated bodies of two elderly people, he says, here's the shortcut. But David, aren't you going off the highway onto a lonely road? And then he actually says, sure, but what can happen to us while we're driving? You just heard the news say two people were killed somehow in their car. I guess they picked up a hitchhiker. And just the way he says, no. It's not only a sexism fail, but again, it's really overdoing the stupid person side of the I'm scared, I'm stupid duo that horror often uses. And it's almost always a man who's driving. So this is a meme in our society that goes back at least to November of 1950. So we know that we're in for it now. And so you're preparing yourself mentally as a listener. How is this going to get scary? All right. It's got ingredients where it could be scary, but how is it going to be horror? How is it going to unnerve me and spook me out? And you're worried at this point. Like, is this episode just going to be like a horror movie where you're thinking, you know, is Freddy going to find me while I'm hiding in this closet in my bedroom? If it's just a cat and mouse game, that's just suspense. And it's not horror. But, they could pull it out, right? They could save this and turn it into something that is actually unnerving. So let's see if that's what they do. Oh, and before we actually go back to it, I just have to say, poor Center Moriches. It's just a humble town on Long Island. It's nothing famous, but they're really larding it on, to this poor little town. And I wonder if it's some War of the Worlds inspired attempt to make this seem real to people who are listening. Remember in War of the Worlds how they kept mentioning real towns in New Jersey, Grover's Mill or Trenton? I wonder if this is an attempt to make this real for people who are listening outside of New York on Long Island, that this is in Center Moriches. By the time I was anywhere near that town, there were no lonely, tree-filled country wooded lanes left, but there probably were some in 1950. So let's get back on to this one with our couple.
Besides, the whole island is full of men looking for this lunatic. They'll catch you. It's just the dawn. Come on, quiet down. You're jumping.
I guess I'm silly. David.
What?
Gas gauge says empty.
Well, there's still a couple of gallons left when it points to empty.
How long has it said empty?
Don't know. I'll get gas when we get across to the other highway.
David, I'm scared.
Relax, honey. Rain and wind always make you nervous as a cat.
Okay, I can't stand idly by while in 30 seconds, less than that, of audio, there's these two sexism fails where, of course, a grown woman who is the voice of reason about the gas tank, is silly and crazy and afraid of storms. You're always afraid of wind and rain, honey. You know that. She's not that far away from the crazy escaped female lunatic mental patient, right? I mean, all women are on some area of that spectrum, right? From a silly little cute little miss to a big heavy set butchering murderer. And this is a fail that will come back to haunt them. This is a sexism fail that robs them of the opportunity to create something truly horrifying. And I will get back to that later, but let's go back to them on the road.
David, I'm just sure this is the road where that woman killed those two people.
Oh, no, stop that, Dorothy.
That's why the police had a roadblock by this road. The crazy woman might be any place in these woods.
But not necessarily where we are.
David, what's the matter?
Oh, that's fine. What a place to run out of gas.
Okay, this was the first time in this episode that I felt a ghost of a chance of horror. The way Cary Grant reads that line is spooky. You hear the engine running out of gas, of course. They've mentioned it previously. Just the way the first thing he says is, that's funny. Oh, there's something creepy about that. You think with a hopeful horror heart, oh man, maybe he plans to murder Dorothy, his wife. He did all this deliberately. He's crazy. He's the lunatic. Oh, funny. Isn't that funny that we ran out of gas right after we passed the Center Moriches sign and Dorothy said one more time how she's sure this is where the killer is. Oh yes, the killer is there. He's right there in the car with her. There's a chance in that line. But since, as you can tell, it doesn't happen, that chance is not taken, then we're just left wondering why on earth the script would have him say, that's funny, in that crazy way. What a lost opportunity for horror.
Look, Dorothy, there's no sense sitting here all night. It's only a few minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm going to walk up the road a bit. There might be a house or something.
You're not going to leave me here. I won't let you go.
Dorothy, we can't sit here in the middle of nowhere for the rest of the night.
We're safer here than out there. David, she's probably hiding in the woods. She's just waiting for a chance to kill us.
Oh, come on, Dorothy. Why should she be right where we run out of gas?
Why can't she be here? Please stay in the car.
And yet another lost opportunity for horror. The way Dorothy says, you know, well, first David says, why should she be right here, you know, where we are? Which is the gimmicky question any listener would have. You know, that is a great question that other shows have successfully dealt with. You know, Lights Out would have made a meal of that question. Why would the woman be right where you stop? Oh, you're going to find out, and it's going to scare the pants off of you. And Quiet Please would have turned the universe inside out to answer that question. Here, it's just thrown out there as a gesture and then never questioned again. But there's another lost opportunity. The way Dorothy is frantic for David to stay in the car, at first you're thinking it's just another fail of the let's separate trope. But then when he says, why should she be right here where we are? And Dorothy says, why can't she be here? David, stay in the car. Again, we have a chance. Oh, it's Dorothy is the killer. She is a crazy person. She's not the insane woman who killed all those people already, but she herself is insane. And while David's focused on this other woman, he's in a car with a murderer right now. That line, why can't she be right here? It's just a lost opportunity for a better horror writer. So they are sitting in the car and Dorothy is crying and apologizing for being silly when suddenly they hear something.
David, she's out there.
Something hit the back of the car.
It's her.
Is the door locked on your side?
Yes. Yeah. Well, why don't you break the windows? She's got a cleaver.
In that flash of lightning, I saw somebody.
Is it the crazy woman?
I can't tell. She's lying on the road.
Can you see her? Is she still here?
Too dark to see. Have to wait for the lightning. I saw her. She's getting up now.
She'll kill us. She'll kill us.
Please.
What is she doing?
I don't know. She must have been running. She didn't see the car and ran right into it.
She's at the window. Right next to you.
Oh, my Lord. Look at her. Get away from that window.
David, she's trying to get in the car.
Look at her face and her hair. Go away.
Aha, at last we have a great radio actor who makes an appearance. This is Jeanette Nolan playing either the crazy woman or just a woman who's being driven crazy from fleeing from the crazy woman. And she is very talented and she brings an immediacy and just a fantastical, you know, take. She's not trying to play it straight. She's not trying to be a good movie actor. She is playing some radio horror.
Go away! Go away! We've got a gun! Now shoot!
It worked. She's staring at us.
I'm warning you! I'll shoot!
David, she's coming back! Please, don't leave me out here! Please! That woman will kill me! Please! David, take your pipe. Hold it like a gun. It'll look like a gun.
Where is it? Where is it? In the glove compartment.
Here it is.
Look! I've got a gun! I'm going to shoot!
Here we contrast the great acting of Jeanette Nolan, who continues to bang and make incoherent sounds and is sounding either crazy or desperate, you don't know which, contrasted with the unbearable telling, not showing. You know, a good show would have said, David would have said, hold on a second. And then he would have yelled, I have a gun. And then Dorothy could have just said, is that your pipe? Instead, we are laboriously told that he can, where's that? Where's my pipe? Oh, it's here in the glove box. Here, let me wrap something around it. Now it looks like a gun. Okay. Suffice it to say, the woman who may or may not be crazy breaks into the car. Somehow she breaks the window. I guess then she is able to break through the window, reach her hand in, find the door lock, open it, and get in before either David or Dorothy can take any preventive action. And then it's just cat and mouse. Everything that the woman does, which seems suspicious, she can justify with the fact that she's running from the crazy woman. Why would you break the glass to get into our car? Because I don't want to be killed out on the road. She says to them, why don't you give me your gun so I can go look for help? I'm willing to risk my life by leaving the car to go for help, but I want to have the gun. Later, she has a piece of glass in her hand. Like, why are you holding that piece of glass like a weapon? Well, because by now, after spending some time in the car with you all, I'm afraid you're going to kill me. Everything they can complain about or be suspicious of, she has a reasonable answer for. Let's listen to one exchange that is representative. And again, such good work by Jeanette Nolan to really walk that line of believability about where her fear is coming from.
I'm not a magician, lady. I can't make gasoline out of rain.
Oh, you can't stay here the whole night. You hear me?
Let go of me. There's nothing I can do.
Try something, anything. Don't just sit there.
She's scaring me. David, stop her.
Cut it out. Cut it out. You'll have us all in hysterics.
All right. I'm sorry. Look, I got an idea. Give me your gun.
What for?
What for? I'll tell you. I want it. Give it to me. Listen to me. I'm all right, but I can't sit here all night. I go crazy. Give me the gun. I'll go. I won't be afraid of the dark, the noises, the feet following me. I'll go. I promise you. But give me the gun.
No, sit down.
Please. I'll go. I promise. I can't stand sitting in the dark like this.
Can't you stop her, David?
I told you to shut up. If you don't, you'll have to get out of the car.
The tremendous acting of Jeanette Nolan here is sadly contrasted with the flat acting of Cary Grant. When faced with those kinds of screams, to have the remedy be you saying, cut it out. Cut it out. I don't think that's what I would say if someone were screaming at me like that. And eventually he tells her to shut up, but it's just, you know, the moment has been lost. But you get a sense that the best part of the show is Jeanette Nolan playing this woman. She sounds crazy, but you don't know where it's coming from. Is it because she's the killer? Is it because she's scared of the killer? Is she starting to think these two people are actually, you know, not that trustworthy either? Again, we have chances for real horror to happen inside the car, but we're going to be thwarted on that in a very lame way at the end.
Is that it? We're not going to shoot you. We don't have a gun. It's only a pipe.
Earth.
A pipe? A smoking pipe? I'm sorry. Then you're unarmed. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank God.
Why did you tell me you had a gun?
What difference would it make to you whether I'm armed or not?
I don't know you. Maybe you two are more dangerous than the crazy woman. I'll tell you what I think. I think you're the crazy woman. The way you grabbed David when you wanted him to start the car.
Nothing, stop it. Don't excite
me. Don't excite me? Why? Do you think I'm dangerous? An old woman you took into your car, two of you, and you're afraid of me?
I'm not afraid of you. Now sit back in the seat and don't try anything.
David, the storm is stopping. Maybe now is the time. The time for what? What are you going to do? You two are up to something.
Oh, shut up! My wife meant now is the time to go for help.
I did not. I meant now is the time for us to escape. David, can't you see it? She's the one. She'll kill us. You little...
Oh, stop it. Sit back in that seat.
You haven't got a gun.
No. But I've got a knife.
David!
It's my jackknife. But it's sharp and strong, so don't try any tricks.
All right. Threaten me. Watch me while that woman is out there. All you can do is sit and wait for her to make the next move.
Again, this is a moment of high tension where they finally all put their cards on the table about their suspicions, but it is ruined by Cary Grant playing it so straight. He just sounds irritated. Oh, shut up. He just sounds annoyed. And this kind of weak response, we get our first pushback on when the woman says, all you can do is sit here and wait for that woman to make the first move. A man who doesn't have a gun, who only has a little tiny jackknife, and is cowering, waiting for a woman to call the shots, this kind of pressure on his manhood is going to be explicitly stated by Dorothy in a little while.
She can kill us like that old man and woman. Must have been on the same road. They were in their car, too. They must have let her in. We'll leave, then. The three of us will walk. We'll stay close together. We'll be quiet. Anyone hiding in the woods won't hear us. Don't get out of the car, David.
Oh, how will we find our way? It's too dark.
We'll find our way.
Look out there. The road's full of shadows.
Again, David is now emasculated. He's just sitting, cowering, without a real weapon, in his car, afraid of the shadows, just like Dorothy was afraid of the rain and wind. Dorothy's ready to escape. The woman is ready to leave the car, but now David is too afraid, and this is going to continue to put mounting pressure on his sense of manhood.
Get her out of the car, David. She wants to kill us. Kill you!
Look, if you want to go, why don't you leave? We're going to stay here until some help comes.
Oh, I'd be helpless alone if I had a gun or something. Your knife!
Oh, why doesn't somebody come? Where are the police?
I think we are all on board with Dorothy at this moment when she unravels. Didn't we hear earlier that there were over 100 police officers combing the woods around Center Moriches? And these people have been out there for 2 hours or something, and just on a road, just off the highway, and no police have come. Again, the show's trying to address an elephant in the room to neutralize it, but instead it just makes us impatient. Because at this point, the good acting of Jeanette Nolan cannot overcome the tedium of the situation. And this is a show that doesn't have the guts to do something that the setup they have created calls for. Somebody here has to be revealed as the crazy person. And we have the feeling that it shouldn't be the woman who they let into the car. Again, I hearken back to the idea that maybe it's Dorothy or David. There has to be something here to make the tension meaningful. And David won't crack. He just gets irritated. Dorothy cracks in a boring way of, I'm so scared, I'm so scared. And the only person we can turn to, which is the questionable woman in their car, we're not getting enough to really go anywhere. And we are spinning our wheels here. And it would be great, I guess, if the police showed up and just ended it.
Your idea to use this road. He wouldn't listen to me and stop again.
Couldn't help it. I got lost.
Oh, why don't you do something? Not just sit here waiting. Do something before we're murdered. Are you so helpless?
All right.
Finally, Dorothy explicitly calls David out and just says, this is all your fault. You were really stupid. And now, are you so helpless? Are you just going to sit here and let us be murdered? And of course, instead of plunging his jackknife deep into her chest or something like that, he just says, all right, geez, okay. Again, all Cary Grant can summon up here is irritation in this situation. It just completely blows the horror. If Dorothy had said, you're so helpless, and then knifed him, I'd be happier in this moment. There's not much going on, but David says, okay, now he's going to take action since everyone's nagging him so much. He says that he's going to go get help. And the woman says, yeah, go for help. And then we finally hit the climax.
Help, David, in her hand. I saw it in the moonlight. It glittered.
What is it?
Your wife is hysterical. She was holding it. A long piece of broken glass, long and pointed. See? She doesn't answer. She's just watching us. What is she waiting for?
It's from above a window. That's where she got it.
So what if I have it? I'm not going to sit here defenseless. She's going to attack us. Don't be silly. It was all right for you to have a knife. Why can't I be armed for whatever may come?
Give me that broken glass.
Give it to you. You think I'm crazy? You couldn't protect us from anything.
Oh.
David, what are you doing? Why are you climbing over the seat?
I warn you. I'm through letting my wife be terrified. Give me that glass.
Stay away from me!
to my wife with that broken glass.
No! David!
Give me that glass!
You're crazy!
Let me alone!
Hold her, David! Hold her! Don't let her free!
Strong! Drop my arm!
You'll kill me!
Drop that glass!
You both gone crazy! Trying to kill me!
Like you were going to murder us?
No, I wasn't!
Don't let her get free!
I can't hold her! She's strong!
If you have a knife, then I'll have glass!
David, hold it!
Much longer!
I'm not crazy! Please, believe me!
You got my throat! Choking me!
Your knife! David, your knife!
It's a little bit unfair for Dorothy to end that scene by saying, David, you killed her, after she has urged David to kill the woman during the fight. Again, the fight summarizes the whole episode. Jeanette Nolan does a fantastic vocal job while Cary Grant just sounds irritated while he endlessly narrates the scene, and with a little help from Dorothy. So, David has killed the woman. And, you know, in the end, it's not as satisfying as it could be because there's nothing horror about it. You get the feeling he did it out of irritation. You know, she was making him look like a chump. He says, I'm not going to let you terrify my wife anymore. It's just this kind of tired male stereotype of, I have to take action when someone is threatening my woman. I don't know what it is. It's just, by this point, it's a letdown. At this point, it's the most boring thing I think that could have happened. They could have at least let Dorothy kill her. That would have been slightly more interesting. All right, so then we get to our wrap up.
She was going to kill us. Here's some lights. A car is coming. Help's coming.
Of course, help is coming now. Just like the second they turn on the radio, they hear the news bulletin. The second they have killed the old woman, the police come. It's got to raise the eyebrows of even the most devoted person who's really following this story with interest.
Hey there, you in the car. Why are you parked here?
It's the police. At last.
We ran out of gas. The crazy one.
What a night to run out of gas. You couldn't have picked a better spot. What with that woman running around loose?
Officer, we want to tell you.
A farmer up the road called and said his dog's been barking at something.
We caught her.
Who'd you catch?
You have got to be kidding me. The policeman just says, hey, we heard a report about the crazy woman. And David says, we caught her. Huh? Who'd you catch? You see what I mean? That in situations where you would not believe they'd have the brass tack nerve to pull off a what kind of question, they do it. I don't know if the episode needed to be padded out for 2 seconds. Or if they believed the police were stupid? I don't know. I just know that there is no way in hell that that person could have actually said, huh? Who'd you catch in that moment?
No, she's alive. Hurt bad, though.
She was trying to kill us.
Well, we'll get her to a hospital. You two had better come with me. We captured that crazy woman a half hour ago. I don't know who this lady is.
Ooh, a trick ending. For some reason, she's not actually dead. You know, this is just an example of, again, the writers not having the courage of their convictions. They can't even make David actually a murderer. She's not actually dead. Oh, it's going to be fine. It's okay. You know, but we'll look back on it and laugh someday. This is the antithesis of good horror radio. Again, there was some potential for horror in that moment when David just says, kind of as a non sequitur, she was going to kill us. It could have been that David was crazy or had been driven crazy in that moment. No, that's all thrown away. And you end up with nothing. All you're left with is, oh, yeah, they should have believed her. I guess when I look back on it now, that was clear from the start. It's very pedestrian. It's not spooky. The tension of the suspense eventually became tedium, and that's why this is filed under Sometimes Suspense Sucks. The problem with suspense is that it's the easiest trick in the book. See, all you have to do is pause and you've created a little suspense about what someone's going to say. Suspense has to be managed very carefully. And really, a great horror episode does not make its money by making you full of suspense about what's going to happen. Good horror radio makes you full of suspense about whether the plot is going to end the way you are afraid it's going to end. You know, good horror radio is pretty upfront about the scary ramifications of the story it's telling, and then you are just desperately hoping against hope that something will come along to ameliorate it. It's not just what will happen. It's, oh my God, it can't really be building up to what I think it's building up to. And that never happens in this episode. So that's it for On a Country Road from Suspense. That was our first episode together. And even though it had Cary Grant, it just wasn't very good. Thank you, Jeanette Nolan, for your heroic efforts to wrest some control of the story and make it interesting. I'm going to sign off for now. Your ghost of radio is heading out the creaking door, and we will see you again next time with our next episode. And until then, I hope that everybody's happy.